Lord God, let what I say come from you through me and out to others. Amen. Please be seated. Lather, rinse, repeat. I think that virtually every shampoo bottle that has ever been made contained these three directions. It's simple. It's clear. It states exactly what you are supposed to do. And for best results, this process is meant to be repeated. Humans are programmed to follow patterns, and we learn through repetition. If only being Christian were as simple as lather, rinse, repeat. I thought of this because of something that Kevin preached last week about being washed clean in baptism. And what Kevin had said that was the problem with that is that we just get dirty again. That image and those words about the repeated cycle of sin and redemption stuck with me. Washed clean, but we just get dirty again. Lather, rinse, repeat. In baptism, we are washed clean once and for all. But here in this life, temptation? Well, temptation is constant. And we cycle through getting clean, that is forgiven, and getting dirty again, that's sin. Sin, repent, repeat. We just need to keep jumping into the water over and over again, hanging on to hope and trusting our faith. That's what's going to see us through. So in the gospel, just prior to today, Jesus was baptized. Then he went into the desert and he was tempted by the devil. And then he returned only to find that John had been imprisoned. Now John, he criticized Herod about his immoral life, about his oppressive economic practices, and the Roman Empire had ways of dealing with people like this. They did everything that they could to intimidate and to eliminate people like John, people who had the courage to stand up against injustice. Remember, these were occupied territories, okay? These were a conquered people, and brutality and poverty and hunger had become a way of life. Those people had very little hope. The people Jesus was coming to. Oppression can crush hope. At any time, they could have been charged with false crimes, imprisoned, or enslaved, just for being who they were created to be. It was a time, as the scripture says, of deep darkness. I know myself, when my whole sense of safety and security are threatened, I get afraid. It's frightening. And when I let fear drive me, when I act out of fear, that big picture becomes unfocused and I am unable to see the hope in my future. As a church, there is a cost to confronting our accepted social norms. But I have to tell you that the cost of not challenging injustice is much greater. We risk the loss of our identity as a church because our church was founded on the life of Jesus, who stood up for injustice for all of us. A church that remains silent in the face of injustice is actually, I would call that a contradiction in terms. Initially, for instance, take the church in Nazi Germany. Initially, they kind of ignored the atrocities of the regime because they were considered some social adjustments. They were only impacting a few groups. It was for the good of the nation. So at first, it was very easy to ignore. It was just one group, a few people. And as the people accepted changes more and more, changes that were positioned and spun as good for the economic and medical and you know, social good of everyone, a new norm crept in for them. By the time it was clear how widespread the injustice was, it was too late. Our Christian identity is at stake when we fail to speak against injustice, because we forget who we are and we forget whose we are. Ignore, accept, awaken. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, a light has dawned. This is the good news. Jesus is the light. And Jesus took a stand against injustice so that darkness would no longer be their norm. What new things, what new norms have we accepted? What are we living with today that we never thought was going to be possible? And is that dangerous to our Christian identity? Jesus is the light, and by trusting him, Jesus is also the cure for our hopelessness. Author Corey Ten Boom said, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away your ticket and get off. You trust the engineer." Jesus is the light and our engineer, but we are still responsible for our own actions. So think, pause, respond. I wonder if for some of us, this light that comes into our darkness is blinding. I don't think any of us enjoys having an interrogation lamp shined right on us, your conscience barking at you. You know what you did. Are you sorry? Say you're sorry. You should be ashamed of yourself. You better ask for forgiveness. You know, nobody wants to be blinded by the light. But what I know of human nature is that sometimes we prefer our chaos and our darkness than having to change. Sometimes we take darkness over change. For those of us who have managed to stay standing in the light, have you, like me, sometimes put on sunglasses? Sunglasses to shade me from seeing the real whole truth about the light and about my life? I think some of the shades that we put on those sunglasses are rose-colored. And I think others are just tinted with whatever prejudice our society paints on them. Our view of life can become clouded if we don't clean the lenses. We need to be aware of the impact that our actions have on others. Think, pause, respond. Brazilian author Paulo Coelho wrote a story I want to share with you. There's a young couple who moves into this neighborhood, and the next morning they go out and they're sitting at their breakfast table looking out the window at the yard next to them. And there's a woman, the next door neighbor, who's hanging clothes on the line. And the young woman says, "Huh, that laundry's not very clean. She certainly does not know how to wash correctly. Maybe she needs better detergent." Her husband looked on, remaining silent. Days went by, and every single time that the woman next door would hang out her wash, the young woman said the same thing over and over again. About a month went by. Finally, one morning, she looked out and she was so surprised to see how fresh and clean the wash was that the neighbor was hanging up. And she said to her husband, "Look, she finally learned how to wash her clothes. I wonder who taught her that." Her husband said, "I got up this morning really early and I cleaned our windows." So it is with life. When we see what we see depends on how clean our windows are. Don't be too quick to judge others, especially if your perspective is clouded by anger or by jealousy or negativity or unfulfilled desires. Judging a person doesn't define who they are. It defines who you are. We need to be aware of things like economic and educational and cultural and racial inequality. We need to know that there are people who do not have access to medicine and that there are food deserts, even in this country. While we here in this room may not personally experience these injustices, as Christians, we're called to stand up for those who do. Think, pause, respond. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Of whom then shall I be afraid?" What are you afraid of? If I have to be honest, I'm afraid of me. I'm afraid of me. And the reason that I'm afraid of me is that I'm the one who puts on the sunglasses and goes to play in the mud after I've been washed clean. Those are my decisions. Regardless of influence, I'm responsible for what I do in this world. But I still fall into temptation. I follow the crowd. And instead of pledging allegiance to Jesus, I end up aligning myself with, let's see if you know some of these things, greed, anger, lust, sloth. But you know the list, right? That's where I end up standing. We all need to turn back to God again and again and ask for forgiveness and then live the life that God has intended for us, a life based on love and kindness and compassion. Believe, hope, help. We are a resurrection people. Those are people who claim a Christian identity. We're people of death and new life. We're people of endings, and we're people of new beginnings. We fall down and we rise again, and sometimes it's really, really hard to be a Christian. But I pray that we experience an all-embracing love and hope and accompaniment on the way. Accompaniment on the way because we need each other. We need each other to remember this. After death, there is life. Life abundant. Beautiful life. The life of which we can't even imagine. Believe. Hope. Help. I want you to leave here today full of hope. I want you to believe that you are enough just as you are to stand directly in the light of Christ. No sunglasses needed. I want to help you have the courage to listen to your heart and to focus on Jesus. Because what you do in this world matters. It matters because it's through us, our words, and our actions that the good news is spread. We are Jesus' disciples. We are fishers of people, spreading good news through our networks. So Jesus says, "Follow me, for I will make you fish for people." Now, another translation of this says, "Be not afraid, and I will make you fish for people." This is the translation that guided me as I was going through the ordination process. It's the thing that I hung on to. And in fact, I made a necklace to remind myself. I got this cool fish pendant, and around it, I took beads of different sizes, some for dots and some for dashes, and I beaded the words in Morse code on the necklace. It took forever. I had to restring it. I don't know how many times, okay? But I finally got it done. And I sat down to meditate, and I took a breath, and I began to very carefully read the beads and read the words aloud. Be afraid. What? What do you mean, be afraid? Wait. What happened to be not afraid? How many times did I restring this? I planned. Well, when we plan, what does God do? God laughs. And God did laugh. I think God has a sense of humor, but I think that message, be afraid, and I will make you fish for people, was a message to me from God. And the message was, being a priest is not going to be easy. And the scripture tells us all the time, over and over again, following Jesus is not going to be easy. I want shampoo-like instructions. That's what I want. Something to maintain my Christian identity. How about love, forgive, serve? Love, forgive, serve. Say that with me. Ready? Love, forgive, serve. Good. Repeat that daily. Amen.